my co-host and co-trustee for the Natural Solutions Foundation is Ralph Fusitola. Ralph, are you there?
Yes, indeed I am, Dr. Rima.
I am so glad to hear that. Welcome, welcome. We had a little bit of a glitch. Our guest, Vinnie Eastwood, host of The Lighter Side of Genocide, is on the other side of the world. He is in New Zealand. I am in Chile. And Ralph, you're in New Jersey. So we have a a three-point touchdown, so to speak. What we usually do, folks, is we spend the first few minutes of the show talking about the health freedom news of the week. And there's been some very interesting stuff developing. Ralph, talk to us about the health freedom news of the week.
Oh, my. There's been various things developing. Of course, here in the United States, we are all being worked over and worked up over who's going to pay for health care and what and who's going to control health care. To those of us who seek advanced health care, the type of work that Dr. Rima does, we know that the new national health care system is not really going to be friendly to what we're looking for in health care. So I've been watching the debate and the battle from the sidelines, never expecting that the type of health care that's being planned for us will actually be real health care. The battle continues, especially in the area of vaccines, with various vaccine pushers in the medical community making a lot of noise in the past few days. In fact, Dr. Rima is working on two responses to two of the very well remunerated physicians who are vaccine drug pushers, and showing the mistakes they're making, the factual errors, the lack of real science behind the vaccine lie. So that's been a major thing popping in the past week. And certainly people are concerned about Fukushima. They're very concerned about the healthcare, the health effects of that continuing disaster, and they're concerned about GMOs. Just again, a couple of weeks ago, there were another series of worldwide demonstrations against the GMOs. And in the middle of all of that, Natural Solutions Foundation, Dr. Rima and her extraordinary staff in Chile, were honored by Salsa Labs, Democracy in Action, one of the organizations, that helps NGOs like ours communicate. By naming us one of their 2013 honorees for the work we've done in Chile, especially. And in fact, in the particular category that we were awarded, we beat out the Organic Consumers Association, one of the certainly other big players in the health and food freedom world. We love the Organic Consumers Association, but we're happy to beat them in an honor such as that. So,
it's funny because we didn't know that we had been nominated for this award. Mm-hmm. The award is based on the fact, and it's not just what we did here in Chile, it's also what we did around the rest of the world. And by the way, I believe that I can probably change my Skype settings so that I'm not getting these annoying noises. Let me do that. Mute all sounds. That should help. Okay.
It's all Vinnie Eastwood's fault, by the way.
I'm sure. It's all Vinnie Eastwood's fault. It's always Vinnie Eastwood's
fault. Aha. Uh-huh.
You know, when anything goes wrong, it is always Vinnie Eastwood's fault. And that's Vinnie.
I was thinking about renaming my show Vinnie Eastwood's Fault. And we could talk and we could talk about my many faults on a daily basis.
Well, as a matter of fact, I think the entire world should be talking about your faults, Vinnie. Yeah.
We are.
Absolutely. Well, actually, the reason why they're talking about my faults actually is my fault, because I made it happen.
It sounds very new agey. Let me finish talking about what's our fault in the world of GMOs, Vinny, because I know that this is a world that's very important to you too. Here in Chile, the extension of Chile from UPAV 91, which allows people to save seeds and which honors the traditional relationship of indigenous people and farmers to seed, is supposed to be replaced by UPAV 91, which does no such thing and which is responsible for the total destruction of family farming and small farming in the United States, and is an international treaty which, once acceded to, can never be untreated unless a country leaves the World Health, leaves the World Trade Organization and so on. It's a one-way street, and it's a one-way street to the centralization and total control of the food system and total industrialization of the food system, and the United States is the perfect model for that. So
that's what's known as being that's what's known as being treated badly.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. So we decided that we were not going to sit idly by and watch Chile go down that road, since we have come here specifically to create a low radiation organic food supply for the Northern Hemisphere to counter the Fukushima disaster, which we'll talk about in a bit. So we created Chile's first ever action item, and we created a situation where, through social media, 2.5 million emails were sent to the Chilean Senate and other decision makers, the Minister of Agriculture, and so on. And it kept the UPAV law from being passed, and it will now be taken up again after the election, which is a huge triumph for us because it was a total shoo-in. Well, the people, the good people at Salsa Labs, who run the program that we use to do these action items, that's where you click submit, and your letter goes to our targets. The good people at Salsa Labs noted this, and they gave us, they awarded us the Hell No, We Won't Go annual award. Why Hell No, We Won't Go? If you're old enough, and you, Vinny, are not, to remember that you, Vinny, are a mere babe. But
I'm younger than I look.
I know. Ralph and I were very much aware of the Vietnam War protests.
I was at the raising of the Pentagon in 1967.
I was at the Justice Department riot, and I was gassed, and so on. Very interesting. So we were part of a generation which was saying, hell no, we won't go fight in Vietnam. And it was very powerful, and we literally brought a war machine of the largest, most aggressive nation in the world to its knees. We stopped the war through our protests and our actions and our public pressure. So
yeah,
hell no.
It only took 12 years.
It only took 12 years, but hey, we were a ragtag, disorganized bunch of people, and we didn't have the internet. Now we would do better.
Now it's the internet, and the American government has been on nonstop war for the past 12 years, at least.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't see Iraq ending anytime soon, even though we've got the power. Yeah.
Nor Afghanistan, nor Somalia. No, no. Eternal war is the peace of the
world. Eternal peace.
Exactly. So
the thing is, maybe we take credit for victories that we're gonna end anyway because the elite wish it to end, so that we'll become passive.
We've had several victories.
and feel like we've accomplished everything we want to, and then we just give up feeling like the victors, and then we get everything turned against us while we look the other way.
But Vinny, they keep supplying us with more things that we have to fight. For instance, there was a real victory in Mexico this week because Mexico had an honest judge who said, I will not permit the planting of the GMO corn that Monsanto has been planning here, and you must stop using all genetically modified materials here for corn. And of course, corn is a national treasure in Mexico, where unfortunately all of the corn is now contaminated, but at least they finally stopped it. Now, it's not perfect, but it means that Mexico can try to recoup, if they have seed stock, they can try to recoup their national treasure in the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of varieties of maize or corn. That's a huge victory. Another victory is that the FDA finally, after 30 years of denying that it was the case, finally agreed to stop allowing arsenic to be put in not only chicken feed, but animal feed in general. Why would they put arsenic in animal feed? Because the animals swell up, so they come to market weight a few days sooner, which means profits for the animal producers on the factory farms. And of course, it also means that you're eating arsenic. Yes! And the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, finally had to acknowledge that they had been secretly permitting it and finally agreed that they would now prohibit it. Whether they'll do it or not is another problem. But my God, think about how long that's taken. I first discovered that there was arsenic in animal feed when I had an environmental scientist who had a mysterious illness and nobody could diagnose it. Eventually I did. She had arsenic poisoning, chronic arsenic poisoning. And I said, do you work with arsenic? No. Have you been exposed to arsenic in your field studies? No. No, 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 no. And I said, well, tell me about your diet. And she said her principal animal protein was chicken. And I said, bring me some chicken. And we tested it. And there it was, just loaded, dripping, you might say, with arsenic. And that was how I discovered that chicken and other animals were being laced with arsenic in the United States, where people think they have the best food supply in the world. Very
interesting. You were not drinking enough fluoridated water, or else you would have not bothered to probe deep enough to find the arsenic.
I think that's probably the case. I would say that I am not drinking enough fluoridated water. But, you know, folks, Ralph and I know who this person with the funny accent is on the other end of the phone, on the other end of the Dr. Rima Truth Reports. I think I should introduce you. My guest with a funny accent, our guest with a funny accent, is Vinnie Eastwood, the most amazing and fabulous, larger than life, Slayer of Suffering. I said, how do you want to be introduced, Vinny? So he sent this to me. Slayer of Suffering and Strife, large and in charge. He's more like Homer, but not Marge. The French say women are from Venus, men are from fromage. Some are a son of the land and others a son of the sea. Vinny likes to expose those whom are a son of a beach. That kind of gives you a taste of Vinny, whose radio show, the only one of its kind in the world, but certainly the only voice of this type of truth in New Zealand, is called The Lighter Side of Genocide. And I have had the privilege of speaking with Vinny on his show and enjoying him and playing with him. He's enormously well-informed, and he somehow manages to keep a balance that might provide the possibility of sanity if he does everything just exactly right. Welcome to the Dr. Rima Truth Reports, Vinny.
Well, thank you. Well, in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humor, you go freaking nuts.
This is absolutely true. Tell us how it is that you manage to keep your sense of humor in a world so full of chaos and madness.
Well, as Bruce Willis famously said, it's not a choice, it's a lack of options.
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, what choice do you got? Okay, all right. I mean, let's just put the little deal in your hand down in front of you. So on the one hand, all right, listen up. You have major depression, very, very, very closely assuming the role of completely insane and paranoid, and losing touch on reality itself, having no contact with your friends or family, being in poverty, and not feeling too good about yourself in general. On the other hand...
Sounds good, Vinny. And then you get to take all kinds of drugs.
And on the other hand, you can also take all kinds of drugs, but instead of feeling depressed about it, you actually quite enjoy yourself.
And for me, I have to add... You get to do something about it. You get to fix the problems. And that's a big sanity inducer, to be active. You know, learned helplessness is a great way to destroy a laboratory animal or a human being. We don't do very well with learned helplessness.
No, because the only one who can help you with all of your problems is the one going through all of those problems. Unfortunately, that person is you. And when you're responsible for a human life, whether it's your child or anything else, that responsibility is all encompassing. At all hours of the day, you're going to be watching, making sure you're responsible so that you don't get your legs stuck in some kind of bad step, get your trachea ripped out by some form of knife wielding mugger in the street, you know? There's certain things and very good reasons why you take care of yourself, which is why when people donate to me, I ask them, only donate to me if you're already fed your family and paid all your rent and fully taken care of yourself, mate. Because if you can't take care of yourself, how are you going to help anybody else?
Have you ever had people say, I want to donate to you and I can't afford to feed myself?
Pardon?
I never had people say, I want to donate to you, but I can't afford to feed myself.
Yes, I have. And then I said, well, that's a simple option then. You can't feed yourself and you can't donate to me. So, don't feel guilty.
Vinny, what are the things that you focused on in your radio show? What are your themes of greatest significance?
Well, a friend of mine in university once accused me of saying, Vinny, you try to force good conversation on people and it doesn't work. I found out a way to make it work. So what you do is you get anybody who has a good speaking reputation, enough to be recommended by listeners to have on the show. That's how most of the guest list gets filled up. The listeners recommend somebody, and I get that somebody on to hear what they've got to say. And I force a good conversation to happen. We have fun. We talk about really serious issues. We have a few laughs. We express some really interesting thoughts and ideas, just like two interesting, intelligent people come into a cafe just to hang out for a couple of hours, except everybody else gets to listen in on this incredible information, amazing ideas, and deep insight, at the same time as having fun and having a few laughs. Because at the end of the day, these subjects of which we discuss are often very brutal, savage, very disturbing in nature, that if you were to be serious the entirety of the time, you would not be capable of remembering the good in humanity, and you might lose faith in it. You might even stop wanting to fight against it. The goal of my show has nothing to do with trying to wake people up. I could care less, as far as I know. You cannot wake somebody up. Nobody forced me at gunpoint to watch two documentaries a day for six straight months to have a geometric change in my thinking processes. Nobody forced me to do that. I woke myself up. You can only lead somebody to the door. They're the one that has to walk through it. What I'm interested in is helping all of those people who have already walked through the door and are now standing in the darkness knowing that everything they previously held to believe was a lie. And I try to make them laugh and make them realize that, hey, it's just the end of the world. There's no need to get upset about it.
Well, you know, we should talk about Fukushima.
We should. Let's talk about the factual side of Fukushima in New Zealand. What is the radiation picture like there?
I am not the person to ask, but one of my good friends, Jonathan Eisen, who does Uncensored magazine at uncensored.co.nz, he sells a few things here or there, like little bits and bobs, items, DVDs, magazines and whatnot. And one item that he's selling out almost every single time he gets a new stock is Geiger counters. Apparently, they're flying off the shelves quicker than cotton candy at an enormously obese American carnival fair in the country somewhere. It's unbelievable. People are really, really concerned, I would say. And I don't eat the fish. No frickin' way, mate. No way. I'm not eating nothing coming out of the sea. It was a real shame because, you know, seafood was what was, you know, pretty good for me as far as
right.
I
know. It used
in
to
some
be.
Way. Yeah. But now it's simply a radioactive time bomb waiting to go off for about 6,000 generations in my gullet.
That is correct. That is absolutely correct. Is there much discussion in New Zealand about these realities?
Zero.
Zero. They're buying high counters, but they have duct tape over their mouths?
This is the unfortunate business. The alternative media in New Zealand, we've got a relatively active blogosphere, a very, very minor radio sphere for alternative, and also a even more drastically reduced video element. So the alternative media in New Zealand is not very strong. There's not an awful lot of choice, but there are a few people who are publishing things about Fukushima radiation, I'm sure, including John Eisen from Uncensored magazine and his wife, Catherine Smith, who publishes the New Zealand Journal of Natural Medicine, who also published a long list of herbs, spices, and other bits and bobs that you can get to indeed cleanse radiation out of the body. So,
the real answer for them. Let me tell you.
Can you send me that list, Vinny? Because I've already, I have a site that people may or may not know about. I don't have it. The Natural Solutions Foundation has it. It's called tinyurl.com/radprotect, R-A-D, protect. And on it, we talk about some spices, and we talk about denatured whey protein, which even people with milk sensitivity can eat. And we talk about boron and so on. But if there are some, and miso soup, if there are some other items that this gal has listed, I would love to know about it and share it with our folks. Can you do that?
Yes, I'm here. Sorry, I was just grabbing the magazine that this list of herbs and everything is, so I could actually read them out to you, because I thought it was really quite interesting and aptly timed. This is a rather old issue of Uncensored that I'm just flicking through to try and find the article now. But we have this Fukushima equals radiation of 2,000 atomic bombs, the dreaded all-out nuclear war that would happen if Russia or the United States actually pressed the button, is going on right now. That's by Bob Nichols.
It finally happened.
Well, that was written on April 22nd, 2011. We are living in almost like a post-apocalyptic Fukushima wasteland, and that's why when I introduce my show, I often say, welcome to the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated and Fukushima-irradiated island-chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific, where there's so much radiation that everybody has a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb. Now, radiation detox, I think I've found the article I was looking for. There's zeolites, iodine, glutathione and super greens, sodium carbonate, that's baking soda, minerals, clay, ginkgo, biloba, echinacea, panax ginseng, curcumin, orientin, vicennin, osimum sanctum, that's basil, Vicennian flavonoid, what the hell that is, sounds like some kind of an alien thing, but there's vitamin C, selenium, melatonin, alpha lipoic acid, what was it? There was also garlic, ginger, turmeric, zinc, rosemary, resveratrol, and also just basically having a general diet so that you avoid eating radioactive things. And these are so many things that you can put into your cooking just in general. So if you control your diet rather specifically and you know where your food comes from, you can avoid the bulk of the radiation saturation in the first place, and you can also put in elements that will indeed help to detox the residual radiation in the atmosphere and the water and everything like that from your body anyway. So this will ensure you a long, hopefully cancer-free life. But, you know, there are no freaking guarantees with levels like this.
Oh, there are certainly no guarantees. And if those spices have been irradiated, there's not much that's going to help you out of them. It's very important to get organic spices if you're going to help yourself with this strategy. Organic spices and non-GMO organic nutrients. Because otherwise, you're just making the problem worse. You're putting toxic, devitalized crap into your body.
What I'm hearing here is the value of the antioxidants, and I'm also hearing here from Dr. Rima, essentially, that radiation is one of those assaults on our immune system that creates the genome disruption syndrome that she's told us about, and certainly we're seeing the disruption growing worse and worse. The reports coming in on Fukushima, Dr. Rima and I just both were looking at a report earlier today of 28 factors that should keep people up at night worrying, you know. And in fact, while we're talking on the show, let me see if I can find those 28 factors.
These are 28.
Well, if you're worrying, I find it ironic to be worrying about getting sick, because when you're worrying, you're stressed, and stress causes 90% of all illnesses. So it's not exactly a chicken or egg thing. It's pretty cause and effect, I think.
Well, but there's another piece there. If you don't pay attention to the reality and protect yourself and the people that you love, you are guaranteeing that you are making yourself vulnerable and you will not be able to protect yourself. So there is something very, very important to be said for being alert and being confident that you have the resources available to you, starting with the intellectual resources like the list that you just read off, Minnie, to actually solve the problem. One of the problems is we're being irradiated. We're being baked and fried and broiled and microwaved by Fukushima, one of the stupidest construction projects in the history of mankind. And we have to do something about it, or we just have to throw up our hands and say, screw it, I'm helpless. Well, I can't do that, because I don't believe that we are. I believe that we have the power to do what we need to do.
If you thought Fukushima was a stupid construction process, you should have seen my dad's shed.
But I don't think your dad's shed had the capacity to kill the entire population of the Northern Hemisphere, did he?
That I can neither confirm nor deny.
Vinny, what information do you have about whether Fukushima was an intentionally created disaster or just gross stupidity and neglect of safety and logic coming together with the weather.
The day Fukushima happened, Benjamin Fulford called me from Tokyo in the morning about maybe 12 minutes before my show. And he was on the phone with a lot of different people, picking it up right in the middle of the broadcast. You know, and it was quite interesting to me because not a couple of weeks earlier, there was indeed a call with Benjamin. He was saying that the Japanese government was being threatened by the US government. They were apparently threatening to use an earthquake weapon on them to create a tsunami or something of that nature, because they wanted the Japanese to pay them, I think, like $1 billion in, of debt or something like that, and they wouldn't do it, they couldn't afford it or something. And they refused, and then the very next day, it hit or something, right? This is a couple of years ago that I was remembering, just kind of fuzzing back to that memory. And just so you remember all that footage of all those massive waves and everything coming up all over the place. You see entire towns being washed away, cars just floating in the water like marshmallows in a hot cup of cocoa. It was just scary how little effect any of the tsunami protection concrete structures and everything had. It was nothing. It was as if the entire sea itself raised up several feet and was just in the process of trading places with the land, much like you would let the you would get out of the bathtub too quick and an entire wall of water flows over the entirety of the bath and just spills out over the other end. It was like that.
Absolutely. Fulford published, and I must admit, I do not know Fulford, but if you can put us in touch so we can be in direct contact with him, I'd really love that, Benny. when Fulford published his information that Japan had been warned that if they did not back out of the BRICS alliance, the Brazil, Russia, India, China alliance, then Fukushima would be destroyed by an earthquake weapon. I thought, well, that's interesting data. Then when the people who watch the electronic emissions and the waveforms that HAARP puts out when it's turned on and when it's ramped up, when they published their documentation, basically supersized oscilloscopes showing that the HAARP was the HAARP gear in Alaska, Fort Greely, Alaska, had been ramped up to the highest level that anyone had ever seen it, and that it had been putting out 1.4 cycle per second energy at 1.5 billion kilowatts, beaming it up into the ionosphere and bouncing it down precisely to the epicenter of the earthquake, just as they had in Guangdong, where they pulverized the mountain that suddenly fell to dust. Mountains don't usually fall to dust, and certainly a mountain that has within it the entire 100% of the arsenal of China's forward nuclear weapons doesn't usually fall to dust. But that was a Project Bluebeam success, I suppose you could say. And it would appear very, very compellingly to me that Fukushima was another Project Bluebeam success, given the fact that the U.S. government was involved in building Fukushima, and they knew that the seawall was only 6 feet high, and yet the average of the once-in-a-thousand-year tsunamis was over 100 feet high. And so they created over 100 feet high, and they knew that the the backup generators that could keep the fuel rods and reactors cool were at sea level. They knew that they would be swamped. This was quite well planned out. And they also knew that Japan's secret and illegal and unconstitutional nuclear weapons program was housed beneath Building 4, Nuclear Reactor 4. So they knew exactly what they were doing because they had built, the U.S. government had built Japan's unconstitutional, illegal, secret nuclear weapons program for them. So Fulford
on top
and,
of David Icke also reported, or maybe re-reported, that there were a new security camera system being installed at Fukushima that was made by an Israeli nuclear weapons company or something like that,
yes,
or connected
yes,
to the like.
Indeed.
Now, one of the points that David Icke made, what I think is quite interesting and poignant and quite funny at the same time, you're in Japan, right? Okay? You think about a cell phone that's gone from a brick to a thumbtack practically overnight. And the security cameras that they bring in are like 10 foot tall, bulky as frag, weighing like 1,000 pounds each. Doesn't make any sense, does it? What interesting is that the weight of them almost matches identically the weight of a nuclear warhead. So if you're worried about your nuclear facility going up in smoke, it's quite simple. Don't buy nuclear warhead cameras from the Israelis.
Well, there's also the issue of the virus. Apparently, while the security cameras were being installed and software interface was being installed, apparently a very interesting virus was installed that allowed the complete and total shutdown of all the security and safety systems of Fukushima through this specific and very sophisticated software alteration. This virus has originated, or this intentional computer glitch, which is introduced, was apparently created by the Mossad for the purpose of shutting down any reactor that they didn't really like, for instance, the one in Iran. So this is interesting. They put in new cameras, and they, of course, had to interface with the computer software of the old cameras and the old security system. Fox, Hen House, something like that, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. I find it interesting that they call the organization Mossad, because it's actually kind of truthful. Because whenever they go out and do something, it doesn't make people more happy. It makes them more sad.
Oh, sad. I don't think it works in Hebrew, but it's very funny. So there is really not a lot of discussion about this, eh?
Not a lot at all. I mean, it's been virtual media blackout since day one about the Fukushima thing, isn't it? You know, you get one story here or there or whatever that's like really, really, really played down, you know, with more euphemisms than you can shake a stick at, trying to make it sound not as bad as it really is, afraid that all the slaves will freak out and panic buy, and then 50 years later, after society's been completely destroyed for decades and whatever because they just went into a panic and didn't heal themselves because they trusted their leaders and what have you, who didn't tell them the frickin' truth. You would have wondered, you know, maybe we should just tell the truth all along and get everybody mature and well-informed and working on the problem together.
Oh, I think you're an enemy of the state. What do you mean, tell the truth all along? I mean, good heavens, haven't you been to corporate schools? Don't you know that the truth is not relevant?
Let's just say I'm incorrigible.
That's probably true. And here I thought you were New Zealander.
Yeah.
how many people came out of your school that you know of with the same incorrigible thirst for understanding and truth that you have, Vinny.
Including me?
Yeah.
None.
Uh-huh. Including you, none.
I didn't come out of school educated like this. I only got educated like this since I got away from it. You know, it's the thing. Education.
How'd that happen, Vinny?
Well, when you get busted for selling marijuana as a student, as you do, you wind up confessing absolutely every single one of your crimes and believing that the cops actually tell the truth. Then you figure out that actually they're not the kind of nice, friendly people who are actually out to help you and give you a fair deal and whatever. So they use everything that you confess to them against you. And then you see yourself getting 300 hours community service when the guy in front of you who was up for sexual assault and resisting arrest got 100. And then you wonder, is this entire system completely fracked? Why is it that none of these people that were actually my friends are actually still my friends? Well, how come they all just frickin' disappeared? How come the entire system really sucks? How come my life is falling apart? How come everything that I came to believe in my entire life actually turns out to be an absolute 100% complete BS lie? How come all the evil people that are committing scumbaggery and illegal wars all over the place and making shockingly large quantities of money and shipping drugs and everything like that, all the while supporting a war on drugs? How come? And then I started working as a telesalesman, and I started becoming really good at it, and I learned how to speak really well. And then I got frickin' demoted by a psychopathic scum who wanted to fire me and pay me 6 weeks' pay just to get the heck out of the building within 5 minutes because they didn't like the 7-page essay that I wrote about what was wrong with their company and how to fix it. And even after that, you still wind up working for psychopaths. There's a lot of psychopaths in sales. They're people who are dishonest, you know. When I was a salesman, I was honest. I tried to keep to my word, and I tried to help people, you know. If I couldn't help them, I didn't want to sell anything to them. But these other people had no scruples. They just wanted the money. They just wanted to do something. They had no means to an end. They didn't even have an end in mind. They didn't have anything that they wanted to do with their life. I was watching 2 documentaries a day. I was having my mind blown daily in many ways. I was learning something about the world that for once was finally true. And I realized that I couldn't do this anymore. I couldn't go to work for people that I hate doing stuff that I don't like. That doesn't actually improve the world in any way. So I took my job. I took my $11,900 bonus in shopping vouchers. I bought myself a computer and a camera. I started going out to protests. I started going out to public meetings and filming this all and putting it all on YouTube. I got invited on a radio show. I got a YouTube upgrade. I can upload unlimited files on there. I've got more subscribers than the New Zealand Herald, which is the New York Times of New Zealand, the most popular other mainstream media YouTube channel in New Zealand, and I'm beating the dance off them. I've been in the newspapers. I've been in the backgrounds of television shows, stealing the limelight. I'm exposing scumbaggery every single day. I've put up more activists on air than any other New Zealand media entity. In fact, all of them combined throughout the entirety of history. More activist opinions, more subject material, more online content than any entity in this country capable of producing. Done it by myself. Why? Because all of those people who know all this really important information, know what the frick they're talking about, have read the documents, know exactly what the problem is, and if you want to solve any of the problems, you best be well-versed with what exactly they are, and you best be able to listen for an hour or two so that they can explain fully in its form and function what we are dealing with here. And if you get those perspectives from so many different people, you get the most valuable thing that news is supposed to deliver. Perspective.
Vinny, you must have no friends.
I have nothing but friends and hardly any enemies.
Do you understand what I mean when I said that?
Maybe I didn't.
Okay. Obviously, we really treasure our connection with you, and we are very, very impressed by you and proud to be associated with you. As you talk to people, ordinary people who have not yet had the scales fall from their eyes, people who haven't watched the documentaries, decided that they have power over their lives, don't have to be slaves don't have to be dependent on the machine and the man. Those people find it very, very, very hard to hear the kinds of things that you talk about and that we talk about. And they get very easily isolated. They get defensive. They hide. They attack. They do strange things because they're feeling so uncomfortable with the disorientation and disconnect from their support systems, their comfortable chosen lies, if you will. And they tend to have a hard time with people like you, with people like us. So my question, because I am always mindful of how difficult it is for people to make this work for them emotionally when they're separating from the things that they've been taught are right and true and so on, and they see that they're lies. How do you maintain your relationships with people when you are in the midst of this continuing ongoing revelation and it's so passionately meaningful to you? Because once you wake up, you can't stay passive and you can't stay neutral.
Well, it's about picking your battles. And also, because you've changed doesn't mean they've changed. You used to get along with your parents and your brothers and sisters and so on and so forth before you started spouting all this stuff, didn't you? No. What did you used to do with them? Well, you used to go out to movies. You used to play bridge with them. You used to play go fish. You used to have a meal together and talk about your family and so on and so forth. There's nothing wrong or unwholesome with those activities. Continue to do those. Don't approach the subjects. Try not to force it on them, because you, by yourself, trying to convince somebody doesn't work. You need multiple people saying the similar thing that you're saying, but it can't all come from you, because your family are the hardest people to convince of anything. I say just enjoy their company and enjoy their time. Show them how absolutely 100% sane you are, and then eventually they start to click onto the fact that actually you're not crazy at all. In fact, you had it right along, and they were the one that was wrong. They were the one that was deceived.
This is very important. And one of the things you said, we were talking on your show, your New Zealand show, the Vinnie Eastwood show, not too long ago, and you made a very, I thought, cogent point. You said, choose to have people whom you can talk about this with so that you don't have nothing but pressure to talk about it with the people that you can't talk about it with. If you have a spouse or if you have family or friends or coworkers or whatever and they simply can't hear you, it's important to develop relationships with other people who can hear you so that you are not isolated alone and not constantly feeling the pressure to talk about this stuff with people who may just shut you down and turn away from you, and you probably don't want that. After all, human beings are designed to, like wolves, have a social pack. We do much better when we have a social connection with people. We are meant to be attached, not detached. It's the psychopaths who have no true attachment to anyone for any purpose, not a religion, not a community, not family, not chick, nor child, nor kith, nor kin. It's the psychopaths who are capable of unlimited destruction because nothing is connected to them and they are connected to no one. That's not how we're designed to be in life. And so I thought that was a very smart strategy for segmenting the relationships, those that you can talk your truth in and those that are still developing the ability to talk your truth in.
Mm. And then the next phase after that is knowing that you can talk your truth to even people who don't like and convince them so utterly of the truth that they can't even resist it, right? That's what I'm practicing, you know, kind of like a monk, kind of a truth monk.
How do you deal with this in your life?
Most of the great tools of dealing with negative situations are granted by the people that you're trying to convince of the negative situation. Denial and avoidance. So if you just deny that there's really, really, really stupid people out there who you can't convince and you can't save, and you avoid those people, then suddenly the bulk of your time is being spent with people who are worth your frickin' time.
Ralph, how do you deal with this?
Trying to laugh a bit, as we all are trying to do. This has been a very interesting program so far. In fact, we're almost halfway through the Dr. Reamer reports. It seems to just be flying by. How do I deal with it? With humor, with attention, and with intention. That's part of it.
I find it's connection. You know, you got to really have strong relationships with good people. Like all of my good friends, Count Dr. Reamer is one of them as well, are people that can do something way better than I can do it. So that means at all times I'm around somebody who is in fact a positive influence. All the people that I've ever had as my friends that are actually worse at everything that they do that I am are no longer my friends. Because they don't have anything to offer me or the world or anybody. They're simply parasitical, have no value, no creativity, and just leech off people, you know?
Interesting. Do you have people who want to treat you like a rock star, Vinny?
I do. And usually when they come up, I say, oh, would you like a hug? And they're like, yeah, I would love a hug. And I'm like, 6'4" and fuzzy. So I get really, really, really magical kind of like teddy bears hugs. And suddenly, when you realize that actually there's just a real person with good vibes, that rock star mentality comes across as something different, as somebody who actually wants to listen to you and care about you. Because something George Norrie told me when I interviewed him a year or two ago, I asked him, you know, how do you say so down to earth? I mean, have you ever heard George Norrie get into somebody on air or just talk smack or anything? No, never. He was always very grounded, always very, very approachable and very understanding and listening, you know, that kind of thing. And he says, well, you've got to talk to the people. Everywhere you go, you've got to talk and listen to people. Because if you tuck yourself away and you only talk with people of your own mindset, of your own clique, you never can be able to fully relate or stay true to yourself without the advent of other people's input in your life.
Do you realize that the show that we're having, the conversation that we're having, is really a field guide for staying sane as a social change agent?
Very interesting.
And it's a big issue. How do you keep, you know, I have done several studies. I'm a psychiatrist in my postgraduate training, and I became very, very interested with the personality characteristics of several groups of people, one of which was psychics. Now, psychics have access to information. It's a real phenomenon, by the way. There's no question in my mind that there is parapsychological information gathering. It's the kind of thing that General Burt turned into a trainable skill for military intelligence gathering decades before I met him when he created remote viewing. It's a real thing. And I became very interested by the fact that if you have information that cannot be verified most of the time, how do you determine whether something is real just because you think it's real, or is real because it's actually accessing, you are actually accessing otherwise unavailable information? What happens to people frequently who are psychic is that they lose track of when they're right and when they're wrong, and they come to believe rather predictably, that they're always right. And they're not always right. They're sometimes very wrong. One of the studies I did was I took a name and a birth date of somebody that I knew exceedingly well, and I gave that same name and birth date to a whole bunch of psychics. And then I coded everything that they said, every part of every communication, with either a 1, a 2, or a 1, a minus 1, or a 0. If it was true, I gave it a 1. If it was false, I gave it a minus 1. And if it was unknowable, I gave it a 0. For instance, if the psychic said, "Oh, it looks like we're going to break," I'll talk about that when we come back.
Thursday and Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern, you can catch the Mississippi Master of the Market, The Crow! That's right, be here for an exclusive evening wrap-up to all the market action. Join the Futures Guru himself for a live, in-depth look into the financial forecast. That's The Crow's Market Watch, every Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, right here at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, where information never sleeps.
Amon Jordan and streaming globally across the World Wide Web, catch The Fetch every Saturday at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time for Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. Intriguing interviews, live chat, lively discussion, and more. That's Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
This is Carrie Cassidy from Project Camelot. I'm on Revolution Radio, Friday nights, 7 p.m. Pacific Time or 10 p.m. Eastern Time in Studio B. Listen live every Friday night. Whistleblower Radio, revealing the truth behind the matrix, one whistleblower at a time. Join me on Revolution Radio.
Do not know what hell looks like from the top.
Well, check it out every
Tuesday and Saturday on Revolution Radio. It's a double dose of the internationally recognized renegade military historian, Douglas Dietrich.
You'll stay right where you are till I tell you to move out.
Yeah, that's right. Tuesdays from 10 to midnight Eastern Time, join Douglas Dietrich as he exposes the truth in hidden history on his show Critical Omissions. And then our human weapon of mass destruction is back once again to take your calls on Saturday night firing lines. Both from 10 to 12 p.m. Eastern Time. Only on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
There is no denying the world is awakening. We see it in the global uprisings and demonstrations of the people around the planet and the new way of thinking and living that is arising naturally within each one of us and our communities. I have been a major player in this global shift and movement for over 20 years and have helped tens of thousands of people around the world change their lives and find their voice in order to help create the paradigm change we so desperately need. Join me here at Revolution Radio on the Just Bernard Show every Tuesday at noon Eastern Time for 2 hours of powerful interviews and discussion with some of the most influential visionaries of consciousness, alternative media, and suppressed knowledge. We promise to reveal the real matrix and empower your human experience.